Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Jermaine Wiggins in the house because it is a Wiggy Wednesday. Joining us right now on the Harbor One Bank Hotline is Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Tom.
Dale, how are you? We have a new Harbor Line Sports Hotline.
We do, a Harbor One Bank Hotline, and you're it.
Harbor One Bank.
By the way, Troy Vincent has said...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Within the last few minutes, that the Patriots videotaping situation is still pending. He says they are gathering information, which is what I kind of thought they were doing for the last couple of days. What's your take on what happened on Sunday in Cleveland?
The Patriots tried to execute a documentary filming thing. The person doing the filming was unfortunately ignorant of the rules. The Bengals noticed him blatantly and obviously taping a sideline, stopped him. Now the investigation ensues. I mean, I just can't imagine over the course of time with the cost benefit of what they were gleaning in 2007 and years before from videotaping that they would ever go down the same road again. So it is what they say it is. And I don't find any other way to explain otherwise. What will be out there, Dale, Rich, Wiggy, is that we will have an opportunity to see whether or not they focus in on coaches, then look at the scoreboard and get down in distance, which is what Spygate tapes reveal, which is what any coach's tape reveals. Here's the down and distance. Here's the hand signals that go on. And then you match them up to the plays to see what was signaled in. If that's not there, then it's exactly as the Patriots said.
Do you think there's any chance that we end up seeing this footage?
I think there's a chance, sure, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. See, I think, and this is what I said, Tom, I think in order to kind of move on from this and basically, you know, put this thing to bed with everybody feeling good, and I'm not just talking locally, but nationally, first thing I said is they have to have a ruling by Friday. And then they have to put the video out there for everybody to see that it was like, hey, there was really nothing to see here. This is what it was. Here it is for everybody to see. And I think if they do that, the NFL, now they put the national media and they put all these people who think the Patriots cheated, they ultimately put everything to bed and they put it at ease.
Well, they put it in their room, but it doesn't go to bed. It'll just be walking around in the room like a little, you know, 3-year-old when you send him to bed. And you know that he's out of bed, but he's at least staying
in
the room.
Yeah, at least he's in the room, right?
And then the next thing happens and the little kid comes out of the room. And here we are again. We're back with another Patriots alleged cheating scandal. So it won't be put to bed no matter what the conclusion is, no matter what people view it. Everyone's opinions are going to be further solidified by whatever we see, either if you're a Patriots observer and deal in fact and detail, you'll take things one way. And if you are looking for the national narrative that this is another instance of the Patriots in a situation where they are trying to circumvent the rules and gain intel, you'll take this as another instance of it. But to me, what the bigger story is how do the owners react? How does Roger Goodell react? Do they feel as if they have to extract another pound of flesh from this franchise? Because owners don't get into the nitty-gritty. They read the headlines. They have people read things to them, pass things on. They go by word of mouth. They're running businesses. They don't get into the details in general. We saw that with Deflategate. So are they going to be exercising pressure as teams, as member franchises, on Goodell to do something here with the Patriots, who are always causing some kind of a nuisance for the rest of the league?
There have been several reports, and I am of a mind to believe them, that nobody is more pissed off about this than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I would imagine that to be the case. I mean, that's almost a given. Any reports that state that are stating to me the obvious, whether it's furious, livid, delirious with anger, I would imagine all of the above, because here you have a 66-year-old coach who has labored to stay away from anything like this. And for the second time in a few years, he's standing at a podium addressing the questions, first with Deflategate, which he very quickly distanced himself from, and then in this instance. But it becomes an airing of all grievances, past, present, and future, with Belichick that only furthers to stain a legacy that he is, at this point, Dale, I think he's trying to burnish and live with as he goes forward as kind of a living legend. I mean, he is acknowledged right now as the greatest coach in the history of the NFL by many, even the holdouts, and maybe in professional sports history. So this kind of thing only detracts from that, and it must be maddening for him because the history matters to him.
Do you think the league will take away a draft pick for this?
I would be surprised if they did, because it's a football, it's a non-football thing. It's an exercise done by the, you know, business side of things, the marketing side of things, the content side of things. So I could see them finding the Patriots organization so that it comes out of the pockets of the crafts as opposed to impacting the football team. But, you know, they are a football team. So you might want to extract what they look at as the most beneficial thing. I think anything would be on the table. I can't imagine it being more than a fifth-round pick, however.
Right.
Now, let's get into
Here's the thing. They're not impacting the product on the field the way the Falcons tried to with piping in noise or any other.
Yeah.
They were trying to – if they believe the Patriots' plausible explanation, I would think that it would be a fine.
Now, let's get to some of the stuff on the field. And then you and I talked about this last night on NBC Sports Boston about the offense and especially this passing game and moving forward. And what who is the guy besides Julian Edelman that makes a play for you? Now, you get the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that's not very good. And we know Josh McDaniels talked about getting N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers more involved. What type of approach do you think this Patriots offense takes, especially these next three games, but say starting with Cincinnati with their passing game?
I think it has to revolve around Sanu, who is, you know, I reported a few weeks ago when he had the high ankle sprain, he missed one game and now he's been back for two and still not really making a big impact. We know that he can because he basically got off the freaking plane and had 14 targets, 10 catches against Baltimore. So we know that the capability is there. So that is the one thing you can add that isn't in the offense right now that can help this offense somehow become a little bit more combustible. Matt Lacoste isn't going to turn into, you know, even Martellus Bennett or Scott Chandler at this point. He is what he is. Jacoby Myers is what he is. N'Keal Harry, you know, even on the play, we talked about this, Wiggy, even on the play that he makes to get down to the pylon, he had to be directed on where to go. So there's a lack of confidence probably in his mind as to, am I about to screw up? And in Brady's mind, I'm looking and say, is he about to screw up? So I can't see him making a massive leap either.
Based on what we've seen from this offense, other than the fact that you're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, which is a huge step forward for you, I don't see anything that fixes the offensive issues for this team short term.
Yeah, just the line, I guess, right? I mean, and you got Ted Karras is dealing with an MCL. So it's just the line. I mean, can they fix the line? Because even with Jacoby Myers and N'Keal Harry and Philip Dorsett, if you had 3.5, 4 seconds to throw, then you might be able to find someone open. You should be able to find someone open. But when it's 1.7 or so, and somebody's coming at you and they're playing defensively with no safety, Phil Perry did a great job in looking at how teams are now approaching the Patriots, just playing man everywhere and playing zero coverage in terms of putting a safety deep. They're just saying, okay, our pass rush is going to get there. They're not going to beat us with the running game. And these guys can't uncover in less than 2 seconds. So we got them.
Edelman got a maintenance day today. And we know he's been dealing with a bunch of injuries all throughout the year, even going back to earlier in the year. I guess my question would be, why now? Like, I'm happy that he's getting the time off and hopefully that it helps him. But should this have been something that they started earlier?
Maybe it's an indication that the other guys can fill the roles and practice a little bit that they hadn't been. I just don't think you can sit down the most important player in the offense with the shoulder injury, which is a fairly grotesque looking shoulder injury. I happened to see him, you know, the other day in the locker room. It looks like, you ever see that Family Guy where he grows another head on his shoulder?
Yes.
That's what it looks like.
That's what it looks like. That's disgusting.
Peter has he's got another tiny little Julian head.
How do you
on his shoulder?
How do you get in the shoulder pads with that?
I wonder if that's like a bone bruise or like just
going
a
on
muscle.
There? That's not right.
Yeah, it's weird looking. Right. It's a weird looking situation.
So he's gonna need like surgery, isn't he?
I don't know if it's a bone bruise. I don't know if it's a blood swell. It's weird. It's
like
a weird
contusion
looking
or something. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Mm. So it's swollen up on the bump on your shoulder. It's swelled up, you know, significantly. But if you look at what he has, the role that he's carried, you know, 90 catches, 1,010 yards, 3 games to go. It's pretty remarkable, but you didn't have anybody else to really step forward and be in practice. Sanu was hurt and diminished. Dorsett had a concussion. So he's the only vacancy.
And now when you look at this team, I guess the question I would ask, because I know a lot of people ask me this question, and I think it's what we all want to know, is this team, forget about defense, offensively and basically passing game-wise, are they good enough to win a Super Bowl?
At this juncture? I mean, the Super Bowl is in February. We keep doing this, and I understand.
Yeah, but how many weeks are we gonna? But how many weeks are we gonna go? Well, they only got three 6 weeks left of when you think about it. You get your 3 games, your bye week, and then your divisional and your AFC. How much better can it possibly get? Or what do we think happens?
They came out of Pittsburgh last year at 9-5 after putting up, I believe it was 10 points and looking tremendously inept doing it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then Josh
Gordon
was
gone.
Over
the last 5 games, guys got healthier. They fixed it up. They get good matchups in the playoffs, and they did. So I don't think they can. I don't think this is a team that's going to score more than 24 points between now and the end of the season against anybody.
The mercurial Antonio Brown has gone off on Twitter again today.
He's been busy.
He's been blasting everybody. He calls the National Football League racist. He apparently is making an allusion to his former Steelers teammate Anthony Chiquillo, who was arrested this year for allegedly attacking his girlfriend. Chiquillo was placed on the commissioner's exempt list, missed 2 games. But when the prosecutors dropped the case, he was allowed to rejoin the team at that point. Basically, Antonio Brown is saying he was allowed to play because he's Caucasian.
Oh,
he's not helping himself here, is he?
He's Caucasian. That's when you know you're serious.
I don't think that's a help.
No.
But it's 2 days ago he released a 2.5-minute video about how he is persecuted and he had to hit the bottom to come back to the top. I mean, it's bizarre.
I retweeted that video too.
Did you?
Oh, you did.
Check that out. I liked
it. It was a pretty good. It was a good video. It was talking like Tom
said. It was
said.
Touching.
Yeah, no, it was definitely
really,
heartfelt.
It hit all the right notes.
Sure.
But he didn't get the results he was looking for.
Tom, if you had to rank for Patriots opponents in the playoffs, the most difficult to the easiest out of the four likely teams that we know are going to be in there with the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Texans, and let's say the Bills. Obviously, there's going to be one other team. But out of those four, I assume the Ravens are the most difficult. But then after that, how would you seed them?
I would say the Bills come in fourth there because it's got the most inept offense.
Yeah.
So that's the easiest one to conquer. And then I would say Houston, which I think the Patriots play pretty well.
How about that? Zip out of there. Zip.
You know what I'm noticing? You know what I'm noticing with that?
He's on the Opal app.
It always like
it goes from great to gone.
Right.
There's no like warning.
There's no middle ground.
It's like here I am.
There's no like, hey, can you move to a better area?
No. Nope.
It's like, you know, perfectly sound.
You know what?
That's
my fault. It was a terrible question. Yeah. That's my fault.
I think
he
hung up on you.
Maybe he just said screw it. He's like, that's what you're gonna ask me?
Well,
he's like, read my power rankings.
He's in a Twitter fight with the Levitard show right now as well.
But he's fighting the Levitard show.
He did answer us though because he gave us.
Yeah, that would have been the answer. And that's how I'd answer.
Because Kansas City would have been too. We at least got three. So we know
right,
that
so
Kansas
buy,
City.
We can de facto
right, now, fill in the guys, blank for him.
Where would you guys put Tennessee on that list, though, if you have to face the Tennessons? Maybe them as the top.
I would put Buffalo at the bottom in that list.
Buffalo would be the least worried as a fan you'd be going into
the playoff. Yeah, because their quarterback is the worst.
He's not going to make any throws to beat you.
I would say it's either so that other that sixth team or that team that would be five in the sense would either be Tennessee or Pittsburgh.
Right. I think both of that they'd probably go there.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Then Houston, although they flip a coin. I know Houston beat the Patriots, but if they play
doesn't
them again,
Houston
the playoffs,
play Tennessee this weekend?
Yeah, huge game.
You might be able to just based on them playing
might be one of them.
But those three teams right there, I would probably say Houston and Tennessee would have the edge because of the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You don't know, you know, you.
Yeah, Duck Hodges.
Is the Duck Man.
It's dark.
And then it's obviously Kansas City.
Kansas City 2, like firm 2, City Baltimore 2, yeah. firm 1. That makes sense to me.
But you potentially, because of where you're seated, you're probably going to end up with Kansas City and then having to go to Baltimore.
You're going to have to play both. I know.
I mean, none of us, we won't do this till the end of the week. None of us think that the Patriots have virtually any chance of losing this weekend. But if you're going to ask me about the Buffalo game coming up in a couple of weeks, yeah, I think they got a chance.
Different story.
Keith, myself, and Foyer watched on NFL Sunday.
By the way, Foyer was on that special last night.
He was?
Oh, yeah. When Doug Flutie kicked the drop kick,
he
leapt into the arms of Christian Fourier.
I was going to say, damn, Bill, you giving Christian some love, man.
Fourier's breaking it down. He's like, I didn't play for Saban, but I can tell you about him. No, but the game's in New England as well.
Right,
so
and remember,
I
was
going to
say, we had it on at when we did NFL Sunday, Josh Allen is horrible.
Yeah,
I mean,
great.
You could say he could be the worst quarterback in the NFL.
No.
You could make that argument.
The worst quarterback in the NFL.
Starting quarterback.
No, what about Duck Hodges?
I might rather have Duck Hodges.
You'd rather
than
have the Duck Man?
Josh Allen is horrible.
He might be.
Think about it.
I mean, definitely out of the playoff teams, but you're saying out of every team?
Out of anybody. Pick a team.
Like the Detroit Lions.
Stafford.
I know, but he's not the starter
now. I would take Jameis Winston over Josh Allen.
You'd rather be eating W's?
Well, at least every now and then Jameis Winston goes out there and you go, wait a second.
Yeah.
Did he just throw for 400 yards? And you know?
What about Jacoby Brissett?
I would take Jacoby Brissett over Josh Allen any day. Josh Allen is bad.
What about Dwayne Haskins?
I would take Dwayne Haskins.
He stinks. I know he's just a rookie. Oh, Mitch Trubisky.
I would take Mitch Trubisky.
Josh Allen?
Josh Allen
is
horrible.
No, he's not that bad. But Josh Allen can at least run a little bit.
Trubisky can run.
Okay. but Josh Allen can run better.
Josh Allen, yeah. They're never out of a game or in a tough situation because of him. Now, he can put them in some tough situations, too. Yeah.
And think about the defense that he has.
Is he the worst starting quarterback in the NFL?
I would, watching him, and I've watched him a few times, he airmails passes. He can't hit open receivers.
Sam Darnold was worse against the Patriots than Josh Allen was.
Yeah, against the Patriots.
Yeah, that was bad.
When have you seen Josh Allen playing a game where you go, all right, there's something there?
I mean, well, he's the class is like one play looks really good.
One play looks really good. So you're going to get one completion. Yeah, I would take Baker Mayfield over Josh Allen.
So would I. I mean, you're preaching to the choir there. There's some good football left in Baker.
Your MVP candidate.
I mean, find me a team.
How about Andy Dalton?
I would take Andy Dalton over Josh Allen.
Better. Dalton's definitely better.
He's the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
How about this? Against Miami, Josh Allen, 21 of 33, 256 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 117.7, and he also had a rushing touchdown. In the Thanksgiving game against Dallas, he went 19 of 24. Mm-hmm. That's good for 79.1%.
That was his best game, I would say.
Yeah, he had a touchdown pass and a touchdown run.
But other than that,
I don't know if he's the worst.
Doesn't Jameis Winston have like 20 interceptions this year?
Yeah,
yeah, but he's also got like 5,000 yards passing. Yeah,
23 interceptions.
Oh, 23 interceptions. Yeah, sorry.
That's 25 pick sixes.
See that stat, by the way? They said the only quarterbacks to have 23 or more touchdowns, 23 or more interceptions, and like 5 return to the house. It's like him, Peyton Manning, and was it?
Joe Namath.
That's a W.
I mean, I guess for him, he's up there with a couple of Hall of Famers.
That's a W.
All right, calm down.
Yeah,
we've already had lunch.
I mean, think about this. We talked about him at the beginning of the year when the Patriots were getting ready to play them, he was at that point in time, he hadn't thrown a touchdown. It was some weird thing that he had in the first three games where maybe he had more interceptions than touchdowns. It was something, and I'm like, but then I continue.
Four games he did. He had more picks than touchdowns. But then he started to turn around a little
bit. But what really kind of sold me on it is when I watched him against the Bills and you kept seeing him get great field position. And like Christian said, he looks one way and then he holds on to it. There was about 4 or 5 times I seen him get sacked for 10 yards or more. He is the worst.
Tom Brady and Josh Allen's quarterback rating is separated by less than a point.
Yeah, but I don't see any.
Brady's 30th in completion percentage, 28th in yards per pass attempt, 22nd in passer rating.
But at least I know that it's the things around Brady.
Josh Allen's loaded with talent.
Oh,
Pro Bowler.
But you just watch him.
He can't make the throws.
I would say he's. I don't know if you still haven't found me a guy that I can go, okay, he's worse than Josh Allen.
I think. Dwayne Haskins definitely is. Right now, he's definitely worse.
Come on now, Wiggy. I know you have a hard time getting off your spot usually.
The only reason
why you could maybe say Haskins, and I think this is unfair to Haskins, is because he hasn't really started a lot, right?
Well, he's a rookie, but Allen's in just his second year.
Yeah, but Allen's been the starting quarterback.
I know.
You know, when I say starting quarterback, think of guys that, okay.
He has 24 career starts.
Okay, so
Josh Allen
think about guys that have been there
from
week one. Yeah. When you look at starters that have, you know, Haskins like a plug-in guy. Think about starters that have been there from week one on NFL teams. And before Haskins, it was, who was it before Haskins?
Case Keenum, I think. And then the Patriots saw Colt McCoy.
I mean, when you went into the season and you kind of look and go, oh, starting quarterbacks. Now that I see it, Josh Allen, I don't know. I would rather have Mitchell Trubisky, and that's...
You'd rather have Mitchell Trubisky, you'd rather have Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I'd rather have Jameis Winston than Josh Allen. And that's like... Ugh, and he's bad.
23 INTs.
Oh, and Jameis Winston...
pile of picks.
He is bad. I'd rather have Marcus Mariota than Josh Allen.
No.
Yes.
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
All right, you got him as the worst. Fine.
I got him.
Fine.
Doc Flynn, who writes about injury stuff for the Boston Sports Journal, has gone back and looked at the video from Sunday's game against Kansas City. And she says, Julian Edelman was limping and favoring his left foot during the fourth quarter. His performance dipped. Not a practice today. She says he's apparently favoring his left foot or leg. She's got some of the video posted here, and you can see him. The injury report will come out later today. My guess is we're going to find out he's got a leg issue.
I mean, the guy's getting killed. He's the only...
I'm surprised he's still upright.
I mean, he's got a bunch of issues, right? Like, that's the thing. He's got so many different injuries.
Well, we just heard from Curran.
In the shoulder looks like Peter Griffin with the second head.
Right, yeah, like the hunchback of Notre Dame.
The way. You could check that one out.
I mean, you are playing Cincinnati. You could probably beat Cincinnati even if Edelman couldn't play this weekend.
I'd sit him out.
But he's all you have.
I'd sit him out.
You'd sit him out, and then what happens? Brady's going to be...
Cincinnati? Well, you force... No, I don't think you'd lose to Cincinnati. You got all that intel from the tapes.
Yeah. So,
no, but you would force N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, Muhammad Sanu. You guys are at James White. You guys are at... Is that what it's come to? You can't beat Cincinnati without Edelman? Then you're not winning the Super Bowl. Come on, the Bengals, they have one win.
Well,
according to Jeff Howe, Julian Edelman's being held out of practice today for load management purposes. I've never heard them use that. We've heard it in other sports. But, as he says, the injuries have piled up this season.
Hey, he's got a million.
Ribs, shoulder, leg.
Load management.
Well, that's because he's getting killed. He's the only one Brady can throw to.
I'm surprised they don't have him returning punts.
And there are times where Brady's under pressure and he just, like, throws it to Edelman and you're like, oh, please. You know, where you feel bad because one guy's getting killed and throwing the football, and the other one is getting left out to dry because Brady can't set his feet and step into his throw. And the way Edelman, and every time he catches and it's run after catch, you know, he's always leaving his feet and getting helicoptered.
Yeah, he does. He gets absolutely trucked and windmilled.
Alex in New Hampshire. Hey, Alec.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going on?
All right. So I got a couple points here. The first one is Wiggy, man. I always say it. I love you. But you can't compare Dwayne Haskins to Josh Allen, man. The guy is taking selfies. He's just unprofessional.
Well, it's
good point.
Unprofessional.
Good selfie.
Unprofessional.
Point.
That's good true. I'll give you the unprofessional.
Like
I'm just
that.
Talking about Josh Allen as a quarterback on the field. He is not good.
Haskins is trash.
On the field, Dwayne Haskins has probably, like, what, 10 interceptions for, like, 3 touchdowns right now? I mean, it's not – and I understand Buffalo is a lot better as a team, but still, I mean, yeah, the production's not there.
No, it's
second
not.
Point I have second point I have is on Tom Brady leaving the Patriots. Now – Tom Brady knows that every team, every franchise in the NFL thinks he's a cheater, one way or another. Everyone hates him. Why would he want to go to a hypocritical fan base when he has a fan base here that loves him dearly and he knows that? I just don't get it.
You sort of assume that any fan base would adopt him pretty quickly,
wherever
he was.
I think they would welcome him with open arms.
Yeah, but we hear more criticism for him now than I would have expected at this stage of his Hall of Fame career.
But how do you think the fans would react to him? Let's just say first couple of games, things are not going well. Let's say it's similar to what we see here in another place.
So he's in another place and he's playing poorly?
Yeah, or maybe it's, you know, it's the pieces around them, but it just doesn't look good. And then on a team that is... You know, they just don't have the talent, and the record is now.
Yeah, they could turn on him. They could because they don't have the. Well, he's got 6 rings. Not here.
Right.
They'd be like, not here.
Right. Yeah. He's 3-4 as your starting quarterback, and this, that, and the other because there's no guarantee you go 10-1 with him.
Right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. What else you got at about 1:45? OMF comes in here at the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Dale and Keith, WEEI.
We've been following along this morning and earlier today and telling you about Antonio Brown's Twitter feed. And we told you, among other things, he calls the NFL racist and points to a former teammate, apparently, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who is out or wasn't punished by the league because he's Caucasian. He tweeted out a meme a little while ago, within the last hour or so, and it's like he's in a Roman gladiator-type stadium. He's laying on the ground wearing his Patriots practice jersey, and he's been stabbed. And in the stands, you see his agent, see Drew Rosenhaus, you see Demora Smith of the Players Association. They're watching from the stands.
Yeah, it's well done.
And there's this warrior guy who's got a sword up in his hand.
Yeah.
The sword is called Sports Illustrated.
Right.
The shield is called ESPN.
And NFL Network.
And NFL Network.
They're both on there, yeah.
He deleted that one.
What happened?
I hope somebody screen grabbed it because
he maybe didn't pay the artist that put that together.
He got rid of that one. Now all the other ones that he's posted today still live on.
Good.
And he is on a rampage here today.
Yeah, he's having a day. He obviously got some bad news because it's funny. We brought up some guy nobody's ever heard of who tweeted out that Antonio Brown's never going to play football again. And this was before
there is
all
a
that.
0% chance that Antonio Brown ever plays another snap in the NFL.
So I don't know where that guy got that from, but it does feel like Antonio Brown, when he thinks there's a chance that he could play, he tweets out all the I'm sorry's and I'm so passionate. I want to get in there. And then if he gets some bad news that, hey, it's not looking good, Antonio, then he goes on one of these rants about how the NFL's racist, and oh yeah, by the way, Ben Roethlisberger, like he brings Ben Roethlisberger back up every time, which I don't mind, by the way, but
well, he
that's
retweeted,
the kind of trend that he's in.
He retweeted this tweet, says Big Ben actually raped a woman and was allowed to come back with a big contract extension. AB was accused with no evidence,
right,
and it was never proven otherwise, and he's been blackballed by the NFL and the white owners. Something's not quite white, and he retweeted that. But it seems
like it all, because you go back and you start to look at his timeline and go, all right, where did things fall off from? Where did this all start? Right, the first tweet that it looks like from today, from the 3 hours, was that him being one of the most searched,
one of the top Google searches this year.
And then it's just kind of like
he liked that.
Yeah, he's like an oh really? And then I guess we've come accustomed to saying we okay when we really not. Then it's really, you know, that's when he goes, guess almighty NFL can hold players out against their will. No criminal charges pending, but a Caucasian player gets domestic, go to jail, still out playing, targeted hate against us everywhere, my peeps. So,
yikes.
Right there, that's the thing that...
He's got some mental health issues.
But that's
going.
What lit the fuse, that tweet. But what did he hear prior to that tweet that, and I think it goes back to what you said, Dale, is that he must have heard from his agent that, hey, listen, I talked to the league. They're not going to make a decision on your case until after the season. Then he goes, oh, really?
Yeah, that's why he has like a meltdown.
Then he goes, yep. I can't play this year. So here's what we going to do. Then that's when the first tweet where he goes nuts. It's about the Caucasian player. Then the next tweet is these guys still working. We know life not fair, but targeted hate. Get intervention filed at NFLPA. So he's telling the NFLPA, and then he puts out a list of all the players that were arrested. You know, that's Patrick Chung's on there and this and the other. So he's telling the NFLPA, wait a second. They're telling me I can't play, but all these guys have been arrested. What are you doing for me? And then, and then that's where it kind of goes, where, you know, we start to have more and more tweets. And then it's here's another one. Let me get my little bread. Get out y'all way at NFLPA.
Right, he's tweeting at the NFLPA
now
the league.
We know y'all stealing. So basically right. telling the NFLPA, man, you ain't going to let me get a little bit of money.
Right.
You get out my way. So, I mean, everybody knows you're stealing because you ain't helping the players.
I don't think the NFLPA is in his way.
No. In his way because they're not helping him get his money.
They're not helping him. Yeah, it's just he's not playing this year anyway.
Right.
I wouldn't rule out next year. You know, the thing is, as times go on, maybe he settles out of court or at least the thing ends up getting dropped or whatever happens in that whole story. Then maybe he's back in the league. But for this year, he's still over.
And the first FM tweet came when some dude, Curtis Binion, tweeted this or was in a reply, didn't I tell you stop giving fodder to Uncle Tom Stephen A. Smith on First Take? God damn it. And then that's when AB, he puts up right above it, F him. And then the next tweet is from that Marcus Moshe where he says he's got zero chance. Yeah, and he says F him again. And, you know, but.
And then on from, and on and on.
But it all started with that first Caucasian tweet.
Yeah.
Which I think that's when he heard from his agent who said, hey, they're not going to hear your case until after the season.
Well, look, the league is notorious for just dragging these things out.
Right.
Ed Werder points out on another topic, and we've talked about this. NFL Executive Vice President of Football Ops, Troy Vincent, says the league's still gathering information relative to the Patriots investigation that will continue beyond today. Final determination doesn't appear imminent. I mean, they drag everything out.
Right.
Oh,
Deflategate took, you know, 500 days or whatever it was before they finally came up with something.
But the first Spygate, they spun it around in less than a week and came up with first round pick and fine for Belichick, fine for the team. They did that real. That was a quick turnaround.
It just depends.
And if this is less than that, which we all think that it is, how can it take even longer?
It took a month and a half for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't take that long. It just depends on what Goodell's feeling like that day. Look, think about the Josh Gordon situation.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, who knows if this guy is going to, you know, is he going to be suspended indefinitely? Oh, you know, he meets with him. Oh, guess what? He can play. Martavius Bryant, and I believe it's Randy Gregory, who's the defensive tackle, who kind of suspended on similar.
Yes.
They're still waiting to hear from Goodell.
Matt Chatham brings up an interesting point. He said, remember when the NFL quickly released that public message after the Pats-Cowboys game? They talked about the two late tripping calls that went against Dallas and said that the calls were incorrect. Remember, it happened like within a day or two. Well, it's Wednesday. The Patriots game Sunday might be the worst officiated game I've ever seen and not a peep from the NFL.
I mean, we were wondering. Like,
they drag their feet with the best of them when they want to.
But would they say anything? Would they really admit that they screwed everything up? And there's so many plays they screwed up in that game, and they're like, oh, well, it's just kind of forget about it and hope something else comes up. Oh, there's Spygate 2?
Oh,
good.
Let's just talk about that. Mike's in Lowell. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dale. What's up?
What's up?
Hey, Wiggy. Wouldn't this make Antonio Brown like the worst type of teammate that when everything is going well, he's perfectly fine, but as soon as he gets some bad news or something doesn't go his way, he throws a total temper tantrum? Why would you want that in your locker room?
Yeah, but I don't think anybody, at least from when he was here, with the Patriots.
He was here for 5 days.
Well, but nobody had issues with him. It seemed like from.
For 5 days, because everything was going nicely for him. And as soon as he got put to the curb, he went on that tweet rampage about Robert Kraft.
Yeah, but never anything about the teammates, though, Mike, right? All he does is say how great Tom Brady is. He's never said anything bad about any Patriot player.
But since that happened, how many times has he gone on these tweet rants when all of a sudden he got some bad news? So he's like a leaf in the wind, being blown by his emotions.
Yeah, but he feels
not a leader.
Yeah, but he feels
I don't
like
know, well, you, no. But there's a difference between being a bad teammate and a bad leader. Nobody's expecting him to come in here and be a leader.
And I think a lot of players would probably be on his side and feel like, okay, he feels like he's being unjustly or unfairly treated.
Would you like that? Would you like that in your locker room for a guy who every time things goes wrong, he throws a temper tantrum or goes off on a tangent?
You're asking the wrong guy. Like, I think he would put up with anything from Antonio.
Yeah, but we've never seen him have a
temper. Sit down and relax.
But we never seen him have a temper tantrum, especially when he was not here with New England. Granted, he wasn't here a long time. All the players have talked about he was such a good teammate. In Pittsburgh, he was there for 9 years, and it really didn't get bad until the last year and a half. I think the thing that he's probably feeling is, why can I not have the ability to play? That's all I want, okay? If you're investigating this and whatnot, just say, hey, you know what? The guy can play. If somebody signs him, we'll have the investigation. But that's where he's looking at. He's looking at it like, why don't I have the ability to be out there and you know, make his little bread, like he said.
All right, so you assume, you think, that the NFL is keeping him from
playing.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, they don't like, because he's the most Googled person, and they don't.
Oh, they like that stuff.
He's already,
they like the Googled stuff.
No, but he's already hijacked their 100 year, and then if you get him back in, the NFL, listen, the NFL, like he said, is like, they gonna do things the way they want to do. And
he's not the only guy like that.
Yeah, but why haven't they did anything with Trent Brown? Why haven't they done anything with him?
That's the point I'm asking you. Why this guy?
Well, because I think Antonio Brown's much more high profile. There are football fans out there, not here in New England, but there are football fans who don't know who Trent Brown is.
Right.
And Trent Brown, you know, like that story came out. He quickly denied it on Twitter, and then he's been able to kind of stay low, and that's it, and then kind of move on. Antonio Brown's much higher profiled, obviously.
And
I think the league just found an opportunity where they haven't actually, they technically haven't done anything.
Exactly.
Is the point. So they found this loophole because if what he is accused of doing, if that's true, then you don't want him in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that he's not on a team, they're not going to make it easy for him to get back onto one.
And don't you think they investigated the Trent Brown situation?
Right? I mean, you'd think so, but I don't know.
You would think, right? But they didn't put him on the exempt list. It's like, all right, well, we're just going to look at it. It's AB. It's like you said, if you balk back at the league a little bit, they don't like that.
What else you got coming up next? OMF at the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Wiggy?
All right, so one of the greatest voices in all of entertainment spoke about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Yes, and
who
could it be?
I wish I had a spot at the Pro Football Hall of Fame writers and I could go and make my case to stand up against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady not to be first ballot, that they don't deserve it because there's too many question marks about that franchise.
That would be Rob Parker.
He sucks.
He is so...
Like, we have kind of a rule around here. We try not to give Rob Parker much oxygen.
I'll talk about it.
So what are we going to choke him?
Well, that'd be
That's what
right.
they'll say.
Yeah.
Let's choke him.
Has he said anything that you thought was worth it?
They all fought. Him, Max Kellerman, Nick Wright, Shannon Sharpe, they all fall into the same. Imagine them at a party.
Fire them into the sun.
Wow. Imagine them around the water cooler.
Oh, God. They would just all agree with each other, though. They wouldn't know what to do.
What else you got?
Rich?
Well, obviously, with Spygate 2 still in the news, it allows...
Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah. Former players, current players, coaches, everybody to come out of the woodwork and bring up other instances of, you know, when the Patriots have maybe done things that they're not supposed to do. So bring in Orlando Scandrick, former cornerback out of the NFL.
The myth is, and I don't know if this is true, is that they have people do sweeps of hotels and they bring anything to them and they use whatever they can.
We should have some mysterious music, John. That's a very fascinating story. So when you go up to Foxborough in that hotel, they've got...
Playbook's got to be with you at all time.
That's very interesting.
All times.
All time. Bathroom. Yeah.
It goes with you.
So you go to the bathroom, you take the playbook.
It goes with you. Yeah, if they'll record a practice, why won't they just tell someone to come and say, room service, do you need more towels?
Except they didn't record a practice.
And you would
think... Well, everybody, but Dale, you're not going to... Why even bother?
Colin Cowherd would say, well, they never recorded... You would think he would say that.
He probably doesn't know either.
He probably thinks they did.
He's probably like, yeah, that's
you would say,
stuff,
and it would be illegal for somebody to go into your room when you're not there. And your playbook should always be with you at all times.
You should always have your playbook
right,
with you.
Right, so I don't know what
you ever lose one?
No.
Ever?
Well, you would have been out of a job if you lost the playbook.
Yeah, you got to always have the playbook. Yeah. Is the playbook on the bathroom with you? Yeah, that's where you get most of your studying done.
What else you got?
So Zach Taylor is the head coach of the 1-12 Cincinnati Bengals, the mighty, mighty Cincinnati Bengals, Sunday's opponent for the Patriots. He professed outrage earlier in the week when he found out that the Patriots, do your job team was videotaping at the stadium. He was all upset. So today, meeting with the media, Zach Taylor had a chance to weigh in again.
I don't have any comment on that. We've just, as coaches, spent our time game planning.
How different is this week? Do you have to do things differently to prepare, given that they were videotaping?
We just prepare like we always prepare for our opponents.
Is there any benefit for a team to kind of see? What's the benefit of, you know, seeing someone sideline and what they do with gesture? I mean, is there just generally speaking, not just in regards to this, I mean, is there a benefit that can be gained?
I really don't have any comment on anything in this area.
Does it leave you angry or disappointed what happened?
I have no comment.
Well, that's changed, huh? He was all hot and bothered a couple of days ago, but today he has no comment.
Yeah, but that was a good question by the guy. What would really be the benefit of somebody recording, taping the sidelines? Is there really a benefit, regardless if it's the Patriots?
If you thought the Patriots were doing it.
If you thought, what would be the benefit? And I would think as a coach, really there's no benefit because...
Personnel groupings.
Yeah, that's all right, but you don't really need... I mean,
it's the Urban Meyer stuff, like you were saying, is like if you see a coach... If he acts a certain way at certain times, you're more cues off of what he's doing.
But
than,
you're
like,
watching him during
personnel.
The game to do, you know, that. It's
but, like, that's not always going to be on the game footage.
Every coach covers their mouth now. And
yeah, right.
You know, no one uses hand. In college, they have a million different cardboard pieces with faces and music quotes on there. So you don't know what to look for.
Hey, if you missed any of today's show, remember you can listen to the entire program on the radio.com app using the Rewind feature. Text APP to 37937 to download. Standard message and data rates may apply. Wiggy, good to see you.
Always a pleasure.
You're on Greg Hill tomorrow?
No, Friday.
Friday, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Tomorrow, we will be back here, and we'll have some Bruins to talk about. I don't know if we'll have anything more concerning this Patriots stuff to talk about.
Probably not.
Doesn't sound like the league's in any hurry.
Well, we got Peter King. Maybe he'll have some scoops.
Give us some national perspective on that as well. OMF is coming up next, top of the hour, 2 o'clock, Sports Radio, WEEI.
That's all, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.